Hello, this is Eileen, and I will be reading the News Gazette for Thursday, May 25th, 2017. Beginning with the front page, sheriff abduction claims were unfounded in Urbana. What Todd Milner knew all along was confirmed Wednesday morning when Champaign County Sheriff called personally with an update on his case. There was no case, Dan Walsh told him, clearing the 51-year-old Urbana man whose booking mug was viewed by thousands after he was accused of attempting to abduct two 12-year-old children out riding their bikes on Saturday night. Walsh said to me, "We know you didn't do anything wrong," Milner said. A short time later, Walsh announced in the press release that probable cause does not exist to believe any crime such as attempted kidnapping, attempted child abduction, or any similar crime occurred. The children had told deputies that a man driving a van approached them at the corner of Glen Drive and East Illinois Street about 8 p.m. Saturday. The boy and girl said the man began chasing them. That set off a search for the van, which was located on Monday. The owner of the van was not involved in the incident, the sheriff's office said. Instead, Milner was identified as the driver and arrested on an outstanding warrant from a 2015 case unrelated to Saturday's incident. He was arraigned Tuesday on a petition to revoke his probation for misdemeanor assault, which alleged he failed to comply with several of the conditions of his probation. It is our belief that the children became concerned when they saw a van slowly approach them, Walsh said Wednesday. They understandably became alarmed when the van stopped very near them. What they did not know at the time was that the driver of the van slowed and stopped where he did because he was living at the residence that they were near. They had no way of knowing that he intended to park his van on the street in front of his residence, but also in the immediate vicinity of the children. What occurred after that was various parties operating on incorrect assumptions, the sheriff said. Said Milner, the kids overreacted, leading to what he described as a difficult 48 hours. After his name was made public as the driver of the white van, he said he began to be harassed. There were threats on social media to my son, to my roommate, and to me, he said. People said they were going to kill them and kill me. When he appeared in court Tuesday on unrelated charges, there were about 20 people on hand from the neighborhood where the attempted abduction was said to have happened. When the hearing ended, Milner was led out of the courthouse through a back way as a precaution. Things got so bad on Monday, he said, he left his home to stay with friends. I'm a God-fearing man, and I live right, Milner said. I wasn't always a good man, but I got sober, and I've become a good husband and a good father. Milner said he had spent Saturday with his kids and grandchildren in Tuscola. When the children apparently saw him, he was parking the van in front of his home. I was looking forward to a quiet evening at home, having dinner and watching a movie on my widescreen TV, he said. I was trying to pull around a car in front of the yard when these two kids on bikes arrived. They ditched their bikes and ran away. I immediately began to suspect those bikes were stolen. So Milner said he drove around the neighborhood to see if anybody's bicycles had been stolen. Just then, this crazy woman confronted me about chasing the kids, Milner said. She was hostile and confrontational. I don't need any drama. The self-employed Milner, who said he's involved in remodeling and construction work, said that sort of confrontation isn't typical in his neighborhood. I'm cool with all my neighbors here, he said. I know the parents of these kids. I don't want no problems or no confrontations. I just want a life that is peaceful. Walsh declined to go into detail about what the children told investigators, but said his office takes all calls about suspected criminal activity whether from adults or children, very seriously. In many investigations, it is common for us to interview victims, witnesses, and suspects multiple times, he said. That includes asking more follow-up questions as facts are learned, he said. As we go through this process, we often build stronger cases. However, sometimes we learn that cases are not so strong, or things are not as we were first told, or as we or others initially perceived them, Walsh said. The sheriff said the fact that his deputies didn't believe that a crime occurred Saturday should not deter the public from calling his office with their concerns. If you see something you think is suspicious or possible criminal activity, please do not hesitate to call 911. Perhaps there is an innocent explanation, but we would much rather respond to a false alarm than to miss an opportunity to stop a crime, protect the public, or catch a criminal, he said. The next article is the first look. U.S. Census population estimates are out. This is called People Power. Just out this morning from the U.S. Census Bureau, new population estimates for every incorporated city and village from coast to coast as of last July 1. We got our hands on an advanced copy. Here's what jumped out after digging through the data. It's No Hoot Owl, Oklahoma, population 5, or Peaceful Village, Missouri, 9. But in this area, there's no smaller town than Fooseland, the isolated village in the northwest corner of Champaign County. The Census Bureau puts its current population at an even 100. That's about correct, said Fooseland trustee Brian Fields, who can't remember the village ever feeling any bigger than 105-ish since moving there from Florida in 2002. Of 19,510 cities and villages in America, the one named after wealthy landowner William Foose sits in at 18,356th place. In Chicago, Chicago lost 8,638 people in 1 year. Peoria was down by 853. Springfield down 748. Decatur's down 621. Bloomington is down 133. Champaign up 995. Continuing a decade-long pattern of year-over-year growth. Of Illinois' 30 most populous cities, Champaign is among just four that have gotten bigger every year since the last census, taken in 2010, and it's added more people in that span, 5,582. Making it a city of 86,637 than any of the three others. Naperville added 5,269, Elgin added 3,935, and Aurora added 3,211. Urbana is a little smaller than it was a year ago, down 76 to 42,014, and a little bigger than it was at the start of the decade. That's up 459 from 41,555. It's still a top 1,000 city nationally, checking in at number 900, sandwiched between Goose Creek, South Carolina, and State College, Pennsylvania. Champaign is 381st, with Newport Beach, California, and Duluth, Minnesota, on either side. From 1990 to 2010, Danville's population stayed remarkably consistent, 33-something thousand, but it dipped down to 31,597 after losing 400 residents between July 1, 2015 and July 1, 2016. That's a far cry from its official population peak of 42,570 in 1970. 13 of Vermilion County's 21 incorporated towns have populations under 1,000, with Muncie, a population of 141, bringing up the rear. The smallest towns in other area counties are Garrett and Douglas, with a population of 159, Kempton in Ford County with 221, and Cisco in Piatt County with 257. Outside of Champaign County, where Mahomet and Savoy joined Champaign in experiencing significant population boosts. The only place that added people over 1 year's time were Monticello, up 77, Bement, up 14, Cerro Gordo, up 11, Mansfield, 7, Hammond, 5, DeLand, 4, Cisco, 2, and Weldon, 1. Catlin's population fell by 20, and with it dropped the Vermilion County city below the 2,000 mark with 1,981, losing 34 residents cost St. Joseph a spot in the 4,000 population club with 3,990. The next article, prison for beating four-year-old. Judge describes stepfather's act as outrageous. In Urbana, calling his behavior outrageous, a Champaign County judge Wednesday sentenced an Urbana man who beat a four-year-old with a belt to 3.5 years in prison. Recounting the facts that Chad Gillespie, 37, opted to discipline his stepdaughter with a belt because she had her shoes on the wrong feet, DeFantis said the man's actions were uncalled for and outrageous. "That's a violent and out-of-control individual," Judge Tom DeFantis said. Gillespie, who listed an address in the 1100 block of East Pennsylvania Avenue, pleaded guilty in April to aggravated battery of a child, admitting that on December 23rd, he struck the child repeatedly with a belt, leaving her with bruised thigh. Arguing for the 3.5 year prison term, Assistant State's Attorney Bridget Schott presented the judge with photographs that showed injuries to the other parts of her body, including her buttocks, legs, back, sides, and forearms. "This is beyond swatting," Schott said. "The use of the belt is unreasonable, especially on a four-year-old." The prosecutor said the child reported Gillespie hit her daily and that she feared him. Her mother came home when he was administrating the discipline, saw the marks on her daughter, and called Urbana police. Schott said Gillespie left the house but turned himself in to authorities not long after. He told them she had tracked mud into the house. Schott said the victim's grandmother reported that she was home in a different room when she heard Gillespie screaming and described hearing what sounded like multiple hits. Gillespie's attorney, Steve Sarm, of Urbana, urged the judge to consider a community-based sentence so Gillespie could continue to provide for his wife, who is from the Congo, and their family. He noted that Gillespie's battery conviction was 20 years old, and that his last conviction was in 2009 for criminal damage to property. Sarm said he couldn't justify his client's conduct, but said it was clear he should not have used the belt or the amount of force he did. "His intention was to do it discipline. I do not believe he wished to harm her. There's no doubt he went too far with the belt," said Sarm, asking the judge to consider anger management and parenting classes for Gillespie. Gillespie apologized to the judge and to his family. "It was never my intent to harm her. I love her very much. I want to get back to my family," he said. Gillespie is entitled to day-for-day good time on his sentence and received credit for 149 days already served. Next, theft of funds nets probation in Urbana. A former employee of the Champaign County Sheriff's Office, who admitted stealing thousands of dollars in public funds, has been sentenced to 2 years of probation. Julie A. Martin, 48, who listed an address in Mansfield, was ordered to pay $4,108 in restitution and another approximately $1,285 in fines, fees, and costs. The 16-year employee pleaded guilty last week before Judge Tom DeFantis to theft of government funds, which is a Class 3 felony, alleging that she took the money between October 2015 and July 6, 2016, when she was confronted about missing funds. Assistant State's Attorney Dan Clifton said the Sheriff's Office was preparing its budget and asked the Treasurer for numbers relating to income and office income the office receives for deputies who serve civil papers for lawyers and others. When that line item appeared to be down significantly, Sheriff's Office began asking questions. They learned that Martin had taken a number of checks to her home instead of forwarding them to the Treasurer's Office for deposit in the bank. After being confronted, she produced a shoebox filled with checks, amounting to about $70,000. Those were subsequently deposited. They also learned that $4,108 in cash was missing. It was not recovered. Martin initially denied stealing any money and said she took the checks home because she was behind on her work. As part of the terms of her plea agreement, negotiated by Clifton and Assistant Public Defender Jamie Props, Martin has until January 2019 to repay the money. A second, more serious felony theft charge was dismissed in return for her guilty plea. Clifton and Martin had no prior criminal conviction. And next, a man faces felony drug offenses in Urbana. A Tennessee man who allegedly had drugs intended for sale in Champaign Tuesday has been charged with two serious felony drug offenses. A Champaign police report said officers were called to a domestic dispute on Edgebrook Drive about 10 a.m. Headed to the call, an officer saw a man, later identified as James Borden, 29, of Murfreesboro, carrying two large, full white bags. They proceeded to the call, where the woman claimed that the man she was feuding with probably had drugs. When the man denied having drugs, the woman said that Borden, who had been there earlier, probably had them. After completing the call about the domestic dispute, the officer went looking for Borden and found him walking from behind a home in the 1400 block of North Neal Street. However, he no longer was carrying the white bags. Police searched the area and found the bags behind the house from which Borden emerged. Besides clothing, a phone, and personal hygiene items in the bags, police found a large plastic bag containing several smaller bags. Those smaller bags contained 59 individually wrapped rocks of crack cocaine and 6 bags of powdered cocaine, weighing a total of 1.5 ounces, 43 grams. The police report said Borden declined to talk to officers about the discovery. Court records show Borden had two previous drug-related convictions and a third for unlawful use of weapons by a felon. If convicted of the more serious of the two charges, Borden faces 6 to 30 years in prison. Judge Brett Olmstead set his bond at $75,000 and told him to be back in court July 15th. Next article. Jury convicts man of robbery in Urbana. A Champaign County jury Wednesday rejected the argument that a man willingly gave his debit card to another man in payment for a gambling debt. Nathan Cobbs, 27, whose last known address was in the 2600 block of West Springfield Avenue, was convicted of aggravated robbery in connection with the July 5, 2016 holdup of a Tolono man in the parking lot of an apartment in Champaign. The jury deliberated for 2 hours. Judge Roger Weber set sentencing for July 10th. Cobbs faces 6 to 30 years in prison. He was prosecuted by Assistant State's Attorney Joel Fletcher and defended by Assistant Public Defender Tony Allegretti. Cobbs, who also goes by Hobbs, has been charged with armed robbery, but that charge was dismissed before the trial started Tuesday in light of information that the holdup weapon was an airsoft pellet gun, not a real firearm. Victim Jeremy Davis, 34, testified that he had gone to his cousin's apartment in Tuscola on July 4th to hang out with her. Cobbs, his girlfriend, and a few others were present partying. That was the first time he had met Cobbs, he said. Because his cousin fell asleep and he needed a ride home, Davis said he overheard Cobbs and his girlfriend talking about going to Champaign, so he asked them for a ride. En route, he said he dozed off and missed being dropped off at his Tolono home. He said Cobbs asked him for gas money, so they stopped at an ATM at Kirby and Mattis, where he withdrew $10 cash and gave it to Cobbs. Cobbs then drove to an apartment complex on North Mattis, where Davis said Cobbs got out to let him out of the car, then turned around with a gun drawn. He told me to give him all my belongings. I gave him my wallet, my IDs, my debit card, my iPhone in a case. I just ran, said Davis. Davis made his way to a nearby gas station where he called his mother. She drove him back to Tolono and he called the police. The debit card was then reported stolen. Tuscola Police Chief Craig Hastings testified that later that morning, his department was summoned to the Baymont Inn Motel, where the victim's debit card, which had been flagged as stolen, had been used to book a room. Learning of the robbery hours earlier in Champaign, Tuscola police contacted Champaign police. Police had also learned that Davis's debit card had been used at the Casey's in Tuscola in the early morning hours of July 5th. As is his right, Cobbs chose not to testify. However, Champaign Police Detective Robert Sumption testified that Cobbs told him the next day that Davis gave him his debit card to compensate him for $450 Davis had lost to him playing cards at the Tuscola apartment. Sumption said the Douglas County police officers located the car Cobbs drove to the motel and later did a court-authorized search of it. In it was a backpack that contained Davis's phone and wallet, the airsoft gun, a keychain with a power bill with Cobbs' name on it. Cobbs admitted to Sumption that he had used Davis's debit card at the motel to pay for four nights' lodging, but said he had Davis's permission to do so. He also told Sumption he had not been in Champaign on either July 4th or 5th. As for Davis's phone and identification, Cobbs told Sumption he didn't know how those got in his backpack. Jurors also heard a recording of a phone call that Cobbs made from the jail to his girlfriend on April 17th, in which he instructed her to tell his lawyer that Davis gave him the debit card for drugs. In addition to his prosecution in Champaign County for the aggravated robbery, Cobbs was also convicted of unlawful use of a debit card in Douglas County for using Davis's card. He received a community-based sentence for that. Although aggravated robbery normally carries a sentence of between 4 and 15 years in prison, Cobb faces an extended term because he has two prior Class II felonies for unlawful possession of a stolen vehicle and burglary, Fletcher said. Next, two charged with burglary ran to a police investigation in Urbana. Rental roommates have been charged with residential burglary for allegedly breaking into an apartment in that village and stealing electronics. Quentin Huxpass, 24, and Shaden Lattimore, 21, who both listed the same address in the 1500 block of Hobson Drive, were arraigned Wednesday on the Class 1 felony charge, alleging that on May 19th, they forced their way into a home on Falcon Drive. A Rantoul police report said the resident on Falcon discovered Friday that the rear door of his apartment was broken and a flat-screen 52-inch television, two PlayStation controllers, and a game for it, and a second television were missing. The resident found a safe had been tampered with but not entered. He told police he suspected Hutzpeth and Lattimore because another person had told him that the pair had plans to commit a break-in. Police interviewed another witness who saw Hutzpeth and Lattimore carrying a television and a bag that contained PlayStations and heard them making admissions about entering a home and taking the items. Police also learned that Lattimore had sold one of the PlayStations to another man who returned it to police when he learned he had purchased stolen property. Its serial numbers matched the serial numbers supplied by the owner of the PlayStations. Police were able to interview the pair on Tuesday, but both denied any involvement in the break-in. Judge Brett Olmstead set bond for each at $3,000 and told them to be back in court on July 18th. Court records show Hutzpath has a prior burglary conviction. If convicted, they face a prison term of between 4 and 15 years. The next article, curtain goes up on merger with Film Foundation in Champaign. After a 20-day voting period, the cooperative owners of the Art Theater approved a merger with the Art Film Foundation, with 97% of the owners voting for the merger. Of the 1,304 owners, some have died and moved away. 351 voted. Of those, 339 voted for the merger and 12 against, according to Lee Estabrook, president of the Art Theater Co-op Board of Directors. The merger will dissolve cooperative ownership and bring the Art Theater into the fold of the foundation and give the theater tax-exempt charitable status. The arts programming staff, membership program, and daily operations will remain unchanged, but now the theater will be legally capable of soliciting tax-deductible funding from individuals, businesses, locals, and state foundations, as well as national nonprofit arts funding organizations. The board and I are very excited for the merger, said Austin McCann, general manager of the Art. The Art has always found innovative ways to remain vital in the Champaign-Urbana community. I'm very thankful for the owners' support for the merger and their dedication to the positive transformation that make the Art such a crucial cultural space. The Art Film Foundation is a Champaign-based, nonprofit, tax-exempt charity founded in 2015. Its mission is to promote cultural and education through film and cinema. The current Art Theater Board of Directors will be appointed to the Foundation Board. Merging the two boards together ensures stable leadership during the transition and provides a continued focus on incorporating community voices into the leadership of the theater, Estabrook said. While the Art has made initial inroads in raising donations, most notably through the Kickstarter project to repair the marquee, its membership program, and the Smart Kids Summer Programming Series, the move to nonprofit status opens funding venues previously closed to the theater. This ability to fundraise tax-deductible donations and grants gives the theater a whole new set of opportunities to move into the future in really new and exciting ways, McCann said. In 2012, the Art Theater became the only cooperatively owned movie theater in the country. Okay, that's all I have for this first half of News Gazette. I'm going to take a brief break, and I will be right back. This has been Eileen with the News Gazette.